So when you start raising your price, it becomes really obvious too that you can't compete. And you can't just sell. If you're not competing on price, you have to differentiate yourself on value. And we were unable to do that without a sales system. So we started kind of having trouble with our closing rate. And so little by little, we figured out we needed a sales system that could tell our story better.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. I have a great guest with us today, Ryan Engelbrecht from StormGuard of Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for being here. So let's start off. Give everybody your 2-minute backstory, because you didn't start in the home improvement business. So let's hear the 2-minute version of your story.
Sure. Real quick, we own a roofing, siding, and window company, as you stated earlier, based out of Madison, Wisconsin. We opened 9 years ago, and we opened up as an insurance restoration company, primarily roofing. About 4 years ago, we made the transition to a retail company and moved away for the most part from the insurance side. Prior to that, I graduated from the University of Wisconsin in engineering, and I spent about 20 years in manufacturing. And so I got to a point where I wanted to do something a little bit different and bought into StormGuard, which is a national franchise. And kind of the rest has been history, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that journey.
Okay, so 9 years ago, you started the business. It was storm restoration. We met, about 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Is that what, that's when you started making the move into more retail? Because look, the storm business is a tough business. Relying on events. But if you don't have an event, you don't have business.
Yeah, it's a really hard business to predict. It's hard to keep people. You're doing 4 million 1 year, the next year you're doing 2 million. And yeah, it's just a challenging business to run. And unless you're in a heavy storm environment, it can be difficult. So we little by little got into retail, and then we liked what we saw. It was a much more predictable business. And so we made that leap, again, like you said, about 4 years ago.
Yeah. And so in order to get into retail, so things had to change. So you needed a selling system. You needed marketing system. You had to drive leads every day now. You had to go out and make leads. You had to have, obviously, systems for production and getting paid and profit model and all of that. So Let's give everybody kind of an indication of, you don't have to share numbers if you don't want to, but let's start with how many salespeople do you have right now?
We've got 4 salespeople and a sales manager.
Okay. So 4 salespeople and a sales manager. So if you're watching the video and you see my face, this has been a long time coming. Let's talk about a year ago. How many salespeople did you have a year ago?
A year ago, we had 1 and a sales manager selling part-time. And then I was selling about a third of my time.
A third of your time. Yeah. And so how was that for you?
Well, not fun. I mean, when I'm carrying a sizable load, I couldn't focus on a lot more. So when you're out selling, you're quoting, you're dealing with day-to-day issues. And so let's just say I spent probably 90% of my time working in the business and, maybe 10% on the business. So it was pretty hectic. Yeah, the days weren't real fun. And I just wasn't having a lot of fun in general.
Yeah. And having 1 salesperson, having a quote unquote sales manager, which, by the way, is the sales manager the same guy as you had last year?
No.
Today's? No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Because, you and I have had this conversation. A really great sales manager is not going to come and want to work for a company that's got 1 salesperson, no selling system, and the owner's, basically half the business, running leads and half the business.
you know, you can't hire somebody to come in and be and save you. You know, we call it, you know, in Mastermind, we call it hiring a savior, right? We can't do that. Although people try all the time, right? And so let's stick with that, because that is, you know, the core of this business. I'm absolutely convinced the core of this business is selling. Because if you've got a great system for selling, now you've got the confidence to go and invest in marketing. Because sure. I know that, so what's your current NSLI?
Our NSLI is about 3,000, just under 3,000.
Okay, so $3,000. So every lead mm-hmm. I issue now, you know, as the owner, you're going to get $3,000 back. Yep. Well, now we know how much we can invest to get that lead. And we can invest a nice amount of money to get that lead. Yeah. And so that's why I think the selling system is the key. And then, of course, getting the work done, that's the commoditized part of this business. Yes, it's hard. You got to deal with the customer. You got to deal with contractors or your own laborers or however you're going to do it. But that's like almost the easy part of the business. It's setting up the selling system. So you had some challenges with the selling system early on. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And maybe just to back up just a little bit too from there is, you know, prior. So when we first made the retail move, we did the natural thing. I think that maybe a lot of companies do. And we just went out and tried to compete on price. So we just go out, try to be the good guys, and we try to compete on price. And sure enough, we got quite a few jobs and we started to grow. But the people that we had to compete, if you're going to compete in the price game, you're competing against guys that are maybe one-offs, you like to say chucking a truck, or guys that maybe just kind of have a business so that they have a job. And we were struggling from a profitability standpoint. So we started to grow a little bit. You know, we go in, do a nice job, and sales were going up, but profitability was not good. And that's when, you know, we got a little bit of clarity on. And that was about the time we started attending Accelerate, I think in 2021. And then we got into the Mastermind group shortly after that, about a year after that, and really learned and got religion on profitability. And without making any money, a couple of things is, you know, we didn't feel like we could afford salespeople. We certainly couldn't afford a lot of marketing. And so it really kind of started there, and we figured out, or we learned through Accelerate, that we had to increase our price and we had to get our profitability up so that we could afford a couple of salespeople and we could afford to spend on marketing. So when you start raising your price, it becomes really obvious too that you can't compete. And you can't just sell. If you're not competing on price, you have to differentiate yourself on value. And we were unable to do that without a sales system. So we started kind of, you know, having trouble with our closing rate. And so little by little, we figured out we needed a sales system that could tell our story better than just, you know, just me being out there sales manager, so that we could train people to do that. And so we could start to scale the business. So that was really kind of the eye opener is to get price more right. At that point, we had a couple of times where we had to, you know, readjust that, and we have since, and started working on a sales system, implemented that, and then that really started getting things going. We could add people, they could go sell, I could get out of the sales role, and little by little, we started to get some traction.
You said something in there that's really good. You got religion on profit. You got religion on profit. Talk a little bit more about that.
You work really hard as a small business owner. And, you know, I was working whatever, 70 hours a week, lots of us do, you know, working too many hours, not enjoying the business, and really not taking any money home. Any little bit of money we made, we'd reinvest back in the business, try to do marketing. And so when we first went to Accelerate and got, you know, listened to some of the industry leaders speaking, you know, Scott Berman, Brian Gottlieb, and, you know, and you, and just hearing how important it was to get profitability right so that can become the fuel of the business. And so when you start making more profit, you have money to spend on people and marketing. And then hopefully you get to pay yourself a little bit more too for the effort and the liability that we all take on as small business owners.
Yeah. So my mind's going two places at once. I'm going to come back to the selling thing in a minute. I want to stick with the profitability thing for a second. Yeah. So you've fixed profitability.
Yeah. I mean, we're still in progress, but we hit an initial milestone where profitability was in an acceptable rate, where, you know, our operating profit was getting closer to 15%, you know, before royalties. And then I attended the profit workshop that you and Mark Curry do. And, you know, that's really going to kind of a college, you know, 201 course on profitability. And so having gone through that now we have to look at profitability even at a different level and really make for a healthy business. And how do we measure, you know, where should our fixed costs be? Where should our marketing spend be? And in order for us to grow, we need more fuel. So we need more in the marketing budget. We need more in the people budget so that we can grow the business. And so that's really the key, get somewhat healthy and then keep working on increasing profit so that you can fuel the business for growth. And so now we've got a little bit more work to do after going to the profit workshop and really learning how to price everything correctly and how to measure the different elements of the of fixed costs and marketing and sales and all of that.
Is it safe to say now that you have become profit focused, not revenue focused?
For sure. Yeah, you know, early on, yeah, you just want to be like everybody else. You want to be, you want to be a $5-10 million business. And, you know, that's the dream. And you don't really think about the bottom line. You just think it's going to naturally be there. But what you realize pretty quickly is it's not there. And if you don't work hard and you don't understand the elements and the science of profitability, you're going to work really hard and you're not going to make a lot of money, which I think a lot of small business owners are stuck in that rut. And so you have to learn the fundamentals and really, you know, be pretty good. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an accountant, but no. You need to know some basics. It's once you know the basics, you know, you'll be 80% of the way there.
You know, business owners, and this is one of the things that it frustrates me because it doesn't have to be this way. And you've known me long enough to where it's, you know, my story and, you know, I took my eye off of profit in the hopes that, just like you said, well, you know, if we grow big enough, eventually there's going to be some money left over. And too many business owners today, I mean, forget even in our industry. I mean, just look at everybody. You know, I don't think it's unique to our business, but our business is unique in the sense that we're going into people's homes. We're going into their most valued space. It's not like they're coming to a restaurant to us or a retail location or our office. We're going to them and we're delivering our service there. And if we do a good job there and we give them peace of mind and we give them assurances that we're going to take care of them and we're going to service them and we do good work with good products to back it up, we deserve to make a very good profit. And I'm not talking 5-6 points. I'm talking 15 to 20%. There's nothing wrong with making 15 to 20%. Now, what gets in the way a lot of the time is the thinking and the mindset. So you're an engineer. My father, engineer. I know the type very, very well. Very analytical. You question everything. You question yourself more than anything else. Like, you know, we have that in common. I think I got some of that engineer mind, and that was why I would always beat myself up so much. You and I have that in common. I don't hear it as much from you, but at the beginning, you would beat yourself up quite a bit. Now, what work did you have to do to stop beating yourself up mentally so you could get focused on what you really wanted rather than, you know, rear view mirror of everything that you haven't done?
Yeah, it's still a work in progress.
For me too. Sure it is.
It's
easy. But you've made some incredible strides just in the last 18 months.
Yeah, you know, I think, being a part of Mastermind, you spend a lot of time talking to us and teaching us about mindset and, you know, things like the gap and the gain, where we try to not focus on how far away we are from where we think the ideal place is, but how far we've come and try to take pride in that. So I think there's a few things. One, you know, that's helped a lot. Another piece is that a couple of years back, I don't know, I read it somewhere that I need to become the leader that my organization needs me to be a year or 3 years from now. And so I really got on this journey of self-study. And so I think that's helped a lot from, you know, I've increased my knowledge base. I've read some really great books, you know, some that have been recommended from you out of Mastermind, Think and Grow Rich, The E-Myth. There's a number of books out there that are just really good on helping you understand life and business and really kind of get your head straight. And when you do that, it helped me get a little more confident in my decisions. And then being part of Mastermind, you're around companies that are doing, you know, anywhere from, you know, $2-3 million a year up to say $20 million a year. And when you get to sit with that group and see what they're doing and learn from them, where you can shorten the learning curve, instead of trying to kind of create a sales system on your own, you can see what sales system they're using and try to emulate their business, because they're where, you know, for me, they're where I want to be. And so it really helps to be around them and soak that in. And it just helps your confidence. And you stop kind of beating yourself up and you start working on the business a little bit more. You start improving your skill set. And so for me, I think that's really helped as I've gotten more confident as I've studied and worked on myself. And you know, that's helped a lot.
Let's pause here for a quick break. It's that time again. We're calling all the top home improvement business owners from around North America to join us at Accelerate Live 2024, happening in Orlando, Florida on February 6th and 7th. Start 2024 with the tools, resources, and relationships you need to have your best year yet. You know I'll only bring you the best speakers with the most up-to-date strategies and tactics, so you won't be stuck having to figure it all out on your own in 2024. Regardless of your current level of income, if you are really serious about accelerating your success, your wealth, and your freedom, there is one event you can't miss: Accelerate Live 2024. Discounted pricing is available for a limited time. So if you want to save big and secure your spot, go to www.accelerateevent.com. That's www.accelerateevent.com. Make sure to enter coupon code WEALTHY24 at checkout to lock in the lowest price. Don't put this off until tomorrow. This event is sold out in each of the last 4 years, so grab your seat today. Remember, this event is 100% guaranteed to be profitable for you on day one, or not only do you get your money back, you'll get $1,000 in cash. So don't wait, go to www.accelerateevent.com and secure your spot today. Now back to this week's episode. So it's interesting because, and you've heard me say it over and over, and you know, and even on this podcast, I say it. I'm convinced after all of this time, after over 30 years of being in business myself, I am absolutely 100%. It's 90%, at least 90% mindset and 10% skill set. Mm-hmm. Because as you demonstrated, once you kind of got it, once something mm-hmm. clicked inside of you and you got it and you said, you know what, I need to work a little bit more on myself. I need to make sure that I am, like you said, the leader that my business is going to need, not right now, but a year from now, 3 years from now, you want to work on yourself. And when you go to work on yourself, then you gain more confidence, like you said, and then that will allow you to make the tough decisions in your business. So with that said, let's go back now to the selling system. I think that was a good place to go, because a lot of people, that's where they get stuck. I've mentioned this recently, but I don't know how many conversations I've had where, especially when I go speak with groups that have, you know, smaller companies, you know, once you get to 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, that's about as far as you can go, because unless something dramatically changes, and generally what has to change is that you have to install now a selling system. Because as an owner, yeah, you can go out, you could sell 1 million $1 million a year. Some will get up to $1 million, $3 million, $4 million. But you're working two full-time jobs now.
Yeah.
And you're hardly making any money. You're not getting paid for the sales you're making. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's a really uncomfortable place to be. And somebody, you know, will ask me, well, okay, well, what do I have to do? And my answer, they don't like it, but my answer is you got to stop selling. And this was something we beat you up on. And I hate to say beat you up on, but sure. This was something you heard a tough couple love. Times at Mastermind. Because at Mastermind, one of the great things about Mastermind groups is there's nowhere to hide. You know, you're in the room, you're surrounded by your group of people, your peers. There's nowhere to hide. And if you're BSing, you'll get called out on it. And you come to the point where it's like, well, wait a minute. I can draw confidence from them. And then now when I show up, I better show up ready. And so you had some struggles there with the selling system. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that you came up against that maybe some other people are, you know, dealing with right now? And they're saying, wow, I know it makes sense, but I'm afraid, or I don't know how to do it. What are some of the things you had to go through in order to put that selling system in place?
Yeah. Great question. And it took us about two to three years, much longer than it should have. I'm a slow learner. And so some of the things that happen is once you realize it, then you think, all right, well, we'll just come up with our own sales system. And so it's back to, you know, recreate the wheel. Why would you? There's so many good sales systems out there. A lot of them are fairly similar, but they're all about, you know, taking the customer on this psychological journey through the purchase process. And so we messed around and we tried to do our own. That didn't work. So then we got into a system and, you know, paid to utilize a system. And then we didn't like certain elements of it. So we thought we were smarter than they were. So we start tweaking it and we wonder why our closing rate is, 20% or 25%. And it took us a long time and really, you know, again, through seeing it in Mastermind, you get just such a good look at great operators and well-run companies that it opens your eyes and it proves to you that you shouldn't be doing anything else except follow the system as it's designed, put it in place. And when you see bigger companies doing it, and they're doing it successfully and they're hiring people that are just good people that maybe don't have the skill set, you just plug them in. And it works. And, you know, how does McDonald's hire 16-year-old kids to make Big Macs taste the same every day? It's kind of the same idea as you just hire good people and put it in place. So it took us, 2 years of, much longer than it should have. It should only take 6 months, but I'm kind of slow.
Well, okay. But more importantly, the decision only takes 2 to 3 seconds.
Yes.
The decision only takes 2 to 3 seconds, but then somebody will say, yeah, I need a selling system, but they half-ass it, just like that's what you just described. It's like, and it's perfectly normal. I mean, a lot of people do this, and thank God that you didn't like carry on with this, because some people will carry on with that for years. Sure. So now they've got a $3 million business, $3.5 million business. They're working harder and longer than they've ever worked. They have more risk and more liability than they've ever had. They have one salesperson, one maybe salesman, kind of like what you described, what was your business. And all because their ego gets in the way of, well, my way, I don't like the way they do that, so I'm going to change this. Well, like you said, it's a psychological journey you're taking people on. By the way, it's not manipulative. This is one of the things that people need to get over. It's not manipulative. It's not unethical. We're not sitting there slamming people, forcing them to. That's the old days. That's the old Tin Men days. Yeah. A one call close selling system is actually, I think, much more ethical than and better experience for the customer than the traditional, well, let me come and check out your roof and then I'll get you an estimate or I'll get you a quote. And then they email it over. And then it's like, there's no value built. I don't know who I'm dealing with. As a consumer, what am I left with? I'm left with price. So I'm going to go with the cheapest guy. And so the guy that lost that job says, well, yeah, I lost it because of price. No, you lost it because you were lazy. You lost it because you didn't build enough value into it. But that messes with people.
Yeah.
I've talked to so many people. You see me do it in Mastermind. I mean, you know, we got to talk some people down off the ledge. You were one of them, you know, but you were never, you would try stuff. You would implement it and it wouldn't work. And then we would say to you, hey, here's why it didn't work. But then you would keep going and you would implement. And then finally, it's like, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to make this work. And luckily, you know, it only took a couple of years for that to happen.
Yeah, we struggled when we put the sales system in place. We were thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to have to spend 4 hours in the house and back them into a corner and play all these games. And you don't have to. Yeah, are there some companies that do that and give it a bad name? There are some. But what we learned, because we take the consultative approach and you know, we want to take care of them. We want to be their supplier for life. And we just want to come in and tell a good story and be the good guys. And at first, we didn't think we were going to be able to do that. But we have been able to. And it works. And the sales system and the one call close is just a very efficient, check all the boxes for the customer, educate them, and then ask for the sale before you go. And you know, it doesn't have to be high pressure. And that took us a little while to wrap our brain around. It was probably more of an excuse than anything to really implement it right. And you know, you just get distracted and you think you got better ideas. And you just have to trust and being around other companies really helps too, though, because when you see them doing it and they're doing it successfully, when you're not around other companies and you're just stuck in your own head, you know, you just come up with all these reasons and excuses not to implement, and you get busy, and it's just it's a bad place to be. It's lonely being a business owner. You have to get around other business owners, and you have to see systems work so that you can confidently go back to your own business and put those in place. But it's really helped me be around other business owners and also have some mentors as well.
Yeah. You know, you just said something that's really great. So eMyth. So every entrepreneur knows eMyth, and probably most everybody listening to this probably even read the eMyth. But it's understanding what he's really talking about there is that what is what we don't always get. And you just brought up I wrote it down. You gave a really good analogy. I'm going to figure out how to swipe that from you. But really, the selling system and all the other systems, but we're just talking about the selling system. What you just said is about, it's like McDonald's taking a 16-year-old kid that can't even clean their room and teaching them how to run a $3 million hamburger stand or their place in it, and making the Big Mac the same in this location and in that location and thousands of other locations. Well, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You do that through step by step choreography, scripting. You know, and then how do you manage to it? If the Big Mac doesn't taste right, you know, Rick Grosso says this funny thing. He says, how do you burn French fries at McDonald's? He goes, you think. And you want to take you, and it's funny the way he says it, but he's right in that you want to take all external inputs out of it. Right. It's like, here is the process. So when you go up to the front door, let's say, you do this, you knock, you take a step back, when you walk in, you do this. Then when you sit down and you go through your iPad sales presentation, when you show them, you know, step one, you go through, this is the scripting that you use, because again, it's psychological, but we're not doing anything, again, we're not doing anything to manipulate anybody. What we're doing is we're being of value and we're being of service. By the way, so let me ask you this. So at the beginning, it was hard for you to raise prices because you couldn't build in the value.
Right.
Now, how is it? How much more are you charging now than you did before the selling system came in? About?
We've raised our prices at least 50%.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Well, in your case, did your close rates go up or did they go down?
Well, when we raised prices without a sales system, closing rate went down.
Down.
When we put the sales system in place, closing rate went back to where it was when we were competing at price.
Okay. And now where's your closing rate? Is it higher than it was?
So closing rate is now starting to go above where it was. Price has not changed.
Yeah.
And price hasn't changed our closing rate.
Now, here's the other side of that, too, is so people will say, yeah, but it's not fair to the customer. You know, they're going to get pissed off when they find out that you charged them more. Let me ask you this. Of all of the reviews that you've got, the hundreds of reviews that you've got, and you've got a great score. Mm-hmm. Has one person in their review given you a bad review because of your price?
No. So if you look at the typical roofing window job, no. Because if you sell value and you deliver value, at the end of the day, that's what they're buying. They're buying the value. I mean, you're not going to, you know, if you go out and buy a Mercedes Benz, you know you're paying more money, right? It's still a car. I mean, it's not significantly different than, say, a Chevy, but you're willing to pay more for the value, and you don't go back to Mercedes and complain. You appreciate the value you got. And so the key is you have to deliver that value. You have to sell it, you have to show them it, and then you have to deliver.
Yeah. And then when it starts to work, your confidence grows. And when your confidence grows...
Yeah, when confidence grows, you know, now we can start bringing more people in, and we can show them the system. We can show them people that are having success. It just builds on itself. And you start to gain, like you say, you gain more confidence. You start to feel like, all right, yeah, I think we're onto something here. I think we got this part right. Now we got to figure out marketing, and so that we can feed marketing or more leads to the team. And so then your focus shifts, and you start running the business like a sales, like you said earlier, a sales organization and a marketing organization, which ultimately most businesses like ours are. And we have to be really good at that.
On the marketing side too, you guys, you know, Jamie is heading that up, and she's like a sponge. She's right. Every meeting, she's writing stuff down, and boom, she gets home and you know she executed. You know she executed because you know, just a few weeks later, like not even months later or a year later, now you start to hear the stories. And to her credit too, she'll listen. We made one suggestion to her, hey, in the group, and she went and immediately made the change. And what did she say? The results were like 3x what they were before that change.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But it's all about it. Yeah, she is. But it's about implementation. Now, the other big thing for you was you wanted to be an EOS company.
Yeah.
You wanted to be an EOS long before you were anywhere near ready for it. You wanted to be an EOS company. And basically, you know, we've talked about that here. But basically what that means is that you follow the EOS structure, which is you've got a visionary, which is typically us. Because we're all over the place and we make messes and we should not be dealing in details and all of that. Then you need an integrator who is the one that's going to deal with all of the details and the people and all the stuff that we don't want to do. Then you got somebody in charge of sales. You got somebody that's in charge of marketing and accountable for results, production, and admin. And you wanted this structure, but you and Jamie were in almost every box.
Sure.
Just like me and Addy were in every box. The first time we started, it was all me and Addy.
Yeah.
How are you doing now? How's your, where are you now in your building out your EOS team, your leadership team?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about making that transition from, say, a $1 million company to a $3 million company. You know, you can think of business in kind of ones and threes. And every time you evolve from a one to a three, you have to kind of reinvent the business.
Yep.
And so, you know, as $1 million, you're doing everything. And to get to, say, a $3 million and then above there, you have to start adding team members. You have to start adding a leadership member, sales manager, eventually a production manager, an office manager. And so early on, it's a little harder from an EOS standpoint because you don't have a team. But as you start adding team members, one of the most important things we've ever implemented in our business is EOS. It's been a complete game changer.
Oh, yeah.
When we started doing level 10 meetings and we have four people. Our leadership team is made up of four people. We've got now sales manager, production manager, myself as the integrator, and then office marketing manager. So we sit in and having that weekly meeting where we're looking at our key performance indicators every week in the L10 meetings, and then the quarterly and the annual offsite strategy meetings. I mean, it's a complete game changer. I mean, we would meet, we would talk about great things, and then we would go back to our busy lives and nothing would get done. And with EOS and the L10 meetings, you just spend a lot of time on issues and solving problems right there with the team. And you just get a lot more clarity on the business, and you start looking at metrics weekly, and it just changes how you run the business, how you think about the business. It changes accountability, and it's just been fantastic for us. So we love it. We've got everybody in the right seats. We've got the best team we've ever had, which is which really helps a lot too. So we can actually leave the business for a week if need be, and the team knows what to do, and they do a great job around the business without us there. And so, yeah, it's been huge.
You know, when you said that to me over the phone about we have the best team we've ever had, that was one that I was so happy for you, because I know how much you've struggled with that. We all struggle with that, of getting the right people on the team, but you have to build a company where great people want to come and work. Yeah. You got to have a great vision. You got to have a way of holding people accountable. You got to show great people how to win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you and me, you know, we want to win, but we also want to surround ourselves, and we need to surround ourselves with people that are also hungry to win in their piece of the business. And so it's so awesome to see that you've reshaped your company from one that would really kind of repel really good people to now it's going to be like, wow, they're going to come in and they're like, wow, the energy here is great. I mean, look at this guy, Ryan. He's calm. You know, he's not stressed out about the business. He's not yelling at people. There's not messes flying all over the place. This place is well run. And then when he sits down or she sits down and you lay out your vision for the future, now you get great people.
Yeah, and EOS does a good job of helping you figure out what you want to look like, say, 3 years from now, and what's your big, hairy, audacious goal, say, 10 years from now. And so you get clarity. And we talked a little bit about this. And I think one of the most important things for me was to really get clarity on where we were going as a business, because now I could sell that to people. We knew we had to raise our gross profits so that we had more money to spend on marketing and spend on people. And you talk about A players, they don't want to come work for a company that's in chaos. They want to work for a winner. And if you're an A player, you can smell chaos and you can smell lack of clarity and disorganization and toxic culture. You can feel that and taste that, and they're not going to want to join your organization. So you have to evolve into that. You have to start, with a vision and then work your way and get EOS and get organized, get confidence and get good clarity for the organization, and then sell that to people. And little by little, A players want to come and join your team. And once that happens, you're off to the races.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what are you working on now? What are you working on between now and the end of the year? What's kind of your big goal for the fourth quarter?
So, the good news is I don't spend a lot of time in the day-to-day anymore because I have a great team. So now I spend most of my time working on the business, working on strategy. And right now I'm learning how to do marketing. I'm learning how to be an expert in marketing. So that's kind of one of my big journeys. We've got a great sales manager and a great sales system in place, and that's rolling. And now it's create more leads to drive growth in the business and continue to work on profitability so that we have, again, more fuel to spend on marketing so that we can grow and spend on people and spend on infrastructure as well.
Looking back, last question, looking back over your kind of your 9-year journey, if you could go back to any point in time and maybe do something a little different or tell younger Ryan something, what would that be?
One would be, you know, don't try to recreate the wheel. Just surround yourself with people that are doing what you want to do and learn from them and just borrow. And you'd be amazed at how many people in our industry want to share and help.
Yep.
And you just have to ask. And I was too nervous. I didn't think it was appropriate. So I didn't ask. And, you know, I wasn't in a mastermind group and I didn't have a mentor. And so it really slowed. And if I could go back, I'd do all of that within the first year or two so that I could see what greatness looked like. And then I could start on that journey right away. It took me quite a long time and took me a lot of study to figure out what that looks like and what industry leading looks like. And I think secondly is try to get as quickly as you can to working on the business. Our worlds are so full of urgent tasks. There's so much going on where our heads are full. And you just have to try to break away from some of that urgent, unimportant stuff. And you got to work a little bit on the business. You got to work on your sales system. You got to work on putting SOPs in place to get rid of some of the chaos in the business. And I wish I would have done some of that earlier. I wish I would have understood the importance of it. And again, I'm a slow learner, so it took me a while to figure all that out. And I wish I would have known that sooner.
Yeah. Well, you and me have that in common also. Slow learner. But hey, look. Hey, we finally got it. You know, we finally figured it out. There really is a lot of good help out there if you go look for it. A lot of great teachers, mentors, people that are willing to help and open up. And fortunately for, you know, you and me, we're surrounded by a lot of really great people, you know, really great people. So that's awesome. Well, Ryan, thank you for taking the time sharing your story. I think I'm so excited for you and Jamie to see, you know, what next year is going to look like. I think that this is going to be your breakout year. And you've laid all the groundwork for it. And you're starting to see all of the results now. And so I'm really excited for you. Yeah. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's been an honor. I appreciate you having me on. Definitely an honor. And you've shared a lot of wisdom over the last few years and really appreciate that. And hopefully the listeners are tuning in to some of your different podcasts because there's a lot of nuggets, a lot of really good stuff in all of that. So thank you. I appreciate you.
You know what? Thank you. Probably in this episode somewhere, we're going to put a commercial for Accelerate, but let me just do a quick plug for Accelerate. If you are interested in joining us, I think 2023 was our biggest event yet. 2024, we had to expand capacity. You know, last year was huge. And this year we're basically taking over a whole hotel in Orlando and right down the street from Disney. And I've got my core speakers, Charlie Gundell, Scott Berman, Mark Curry, John Inglis, and I got a couple others that are kind of in the wings that I think people are going to really, really love. We've got some fun stuff planned, but I think that, you know, Accelerate, well, how would you describe, because you've been now for, you guys started in 21, you said?
21, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So you've been to three of them now.
Yeah. You know, it's really it's a crash course in how to run your business, what systems you should have in place. Starts with profitability, a lot on mindset, a lot on sales systems, a lot on marketing. And those are the pillars and the foundation of running a good business. And you get all of that. And to be able to sit and listen to some of the rock stars like Scott Berman and, you know, Gottlieb, all those guys are just fantastic. And yeah, they're so good to listen to that it's worth the money. I see no reason. I don't know why we'll ever miss one because every year is a little different. You get to listen to different people. You're at a little bit different point in your evolution and your knowledge. And so it always means something important. So it's a fantastic event. You do a great job with it.
Great. Well, thank you. You guys like how I did that? I started the plug and then I asked him to finish it for me. But if you guys are interested in learning more, go to accelerateevent.com, accelerateevent.com. And there's probably a coupon code that you can use. I'm going to make one up. Wealthy 24, you'll save an extra $100 on your ticket. Wealthy 24. Yeah. AccelerateEvent.com. Go there. We'd love to see you there. Ryan, thank you again. Can't wait to see you guys in just a few weeks at Mastermind. Give Jamie my best.
Yeah. Andy as well. Thanks, Brian. Take care.
All right, everybody. You guys got to go. Me and Ryan got a few more things to talk about. But until next time, hope you enjoyed this episode. I think this episode, you know, I say it almost every episode. Maybe I'm deluded into, delusions, but I think that this episode was flipping fantastic. And this is another one you got to go back and listen to again, because there's so much nuance in it, the mindset stuff about the selling system. There's a lot in there. So go back and listen to it again. And I think you'll get more stuff out of it. So, okay. I'll shut up now. Until next time, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.